And my name is Max Holt. I'm the singles minister of Hilldale Baptist Church in Clarksville, Tennessee, about 45 minutes northwest of Nashville. And I'm glad you are here for this session of the ups and downs of SAM, ups and downs of single adult ministry. And I bring greetings to you from Tennessee and our part of Tennessee. We live very close to Mecca, which is, for Southern Baptists, that's Nashville. The Southern Baptist Convention is there, and Lifeway Christian Resources is there. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
And so, those of us who live in the South, particularly those of us in Tennessee, they say not only live in the Bible Belt, but we live on the buckle of the Bible Belt. So we have unique opportunities to minister and to reach people for Christ that we don't have in other places. I used to be with the Army. I was in the Army 22 years. I was stationed in the Northwest up in Washington State. And I can tell you, there's not a church on every corner up there. As a matter of fact, we had to look in the Yellow Pages to find us a church. So that's how few churches there were. And there are other parts of the country which also find that people are just not associated with spiritual things and with church as much. Although the truth is, in the South, we have a huge number of people unchurched and unsaved. So it's the same all over the country, actually. Being from Tennessee, though, I'm from Texas. I'm a farm boy, grew up with 9 brothers and sisters on the farm. And then coming to Tennessee, it's like, a Texas redneck coming to work with Tennessee rednecks. And so I learned a lot from folks in Tennessee. And I have a list here. I forget who sent this to me. But this is things a redneck would never say. Things a redneck would never say. Here's one. I'll take Shakespeare for 1,000, Alex. You never hear a redneck say that. You never hear a redneck say, duct tape won't fix that. You never hear a redneck say, we don't keep firearms in this house. You never hear a redneck say, you can't feed that to the dog. You never hear a redneck say, wrestling's fake. You never hear a redneck say, who's Richard Petty? You never hear a redneck say, I just couldn't find a thing at Walmart today. I often tell people that when I die, bury me in the Walmart parking lot so my wife will come see me. Here's another thing. You'll never hear a redneck say, she's too old to be wearing that bikini. And finally, you'll never hear a redneck say, who's Elvis? So those are things you never hear a redneck say. Of course, in Tennessee, we hear a lot of redneck jokes, and the Alabama folks tell jokes about us, and we tell jokes about Alabama and all that sort of stuff. And I heard this one guy telling about this Alabama redneck. Of course, it couldn't be Tennessee redneck, but this Alabama redneck who came up to Memphis to visit, and he was looking along the Mississippi River dock at all of the Mississippi River, those riverboat cruises, those big fancy riverboat cruises. And he was just amazed by those riverboats, but the cruises were very expensive, $1,500, $2,000. He just couldn't afford that. And so finally, he comes to one little place that says, Mississippi River Cruise, rednecks only, $25. He thought, wow, what a deal. So he goes in. He said, your sign says $25. And the guy said, are you a redneck? He said, yes, sir. He said, you qualify. And the redneck said, no, wait a minute. He said, how far does this cruise go? He said, this cruise goes all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. He thought, wow, what a deal. He said, okay, I'll take it. He's paid his $25. He said, go out back and the guy out there will help you. Well, he goes out back and unknown to him, all of a sudden he's hit over the head with a baseball bat. And when he wakes up, he's tied on a log floating down the Mississippi River. And he finally comes to and he's looking around and he bumps into another log and there's another redneck tied on that one. And they get to talking. So he asked the other redneck, he said, do you think they're going to feed us on this cruise? And the other redneck said, "I don't think so. They didn't last year." So us rednecks in Tennessee kind of take, you know, the hit a little bit from a lot of folks around the country. And, you know, me being a country boy, I kind of identify, having grown up kind of as a Texas redneck, I guess you might say, identify with that. But what I want to talk about today is not the ups and downs of rednecks and the ups and downs of Tennessee and Alabama. We want to talk about the ups and downs of single adult ministry. And I'll tell you, I don't know of a single adult ministry or a single adult ministry that hasn't told me, man, we just can't seem to maintain attendance. Our attendance goes up and down all the time, and people go out the back door, and we keep losing singles to other churches. We have surfers. You know, they have a group of singles called surfers. And what these surfers do is they surf from church to church. They're looking for that event, they're looking for that guy or that girl or whatever the case may be, and they surf around town, and they'll surf back to me every once in a while, and me and the other singles ministers in town, you know, we talk about that, and, you know, "Have you got Betty Sue this week?" "Yeah, I got Betty Sue this week." "Okay, then you have to pay for the coffee," you know, that sort of thing. And so you have, how do you control that, you know? That's one of the downs of sound, and then one of the ups is all of a sudden when all things come together and your singles ministry is growing like crazy, and man, everything is peachy keen, and everything's coming up roses, they say, and then all of a sudden you hit a down. And I do a lot of leadership training. You know, I've done it for Lifeway, and I've done it for Tennessee Baptist Convention, and for other groups around the country, from Texas to Pennsylvania, and so on. And I tell you, I can't tell you the number of ministries that I've been to that were vibrant and growing, and they brought me in to speak or whatever, and I call them back in 2 years, and they say, "Oh, well, we don't have a singles ministry anymore." You ever seen that? Singles ministry, the whole ministry will come and go. And a ministry of 100 singles can disappear from the church landscape anyway. The singles don't disappear, but I mean, some of them stay in the church and just do other things, or not go to the ministry or Sunday school or whatever. And it's very frustrating, isn't it, to have this kind of ministry dynamics going on in your single adult ministry. Well, we have to understand that some of the dynamics of single adult ministry are driven by the very fact that someone is single. For instance, if you have a single man and he gets up on a Sunday morning and decides that he wants to go to the beach in Alabama from Clarksville, Tennessee, he doesn't have to check with anybody. There's nobody he has to wake up and say, "Hey, what do you think about going to the beach?" No. He gets up, gets in his car, and takes off to the beach. And so he has the ability to make that decision by himself, and so it makes him more fluid in his travels and his decisions, and so therefore he don't show up on Sunday morning at your church. Although the next Sunday he's there. And so if you are a church that, let's say you have a singles ministry of 50, let's say, that normally would attend, if you look at that, let's say every Sunday you had 50, and you check it out over a month, you had a whole lot more than 50 singles there. You might have had 150 singles there. They just didn't all come on the same Sunday. See what I mean? And so it's very difficult to maintain continuity in the ups and downs of single adult ministry, because so many things influence that. If you live in an area that's very heavy into NASCAR, if a NASCAR event comes along, goodbye Sunday school, goodbye Bible study, whatever the case may be. If you live in the mountains and ski time comes around, you're going to have a hard time keeping people, the singles, there on Sunday morning, because they're out on ski slopes. See what I mean? So it just all depends on where you are. If you're in Florida, they're at the beach. So the ups and downs of Sam have to do with the fluctuation in your ministry, be it attendance or be it in quality or whatever the case may be. I've discovered there's only two kinds of single adult ministries. There's only two kinds of Sams. Whoop, let me go back. There's only two kinds of Sams. Those that have declined and those that are going to. Two kinds. Those that have declined and those that are going to. I don't care how good it is, it's going to decline at some point. So only two kinds of ministries. Those that decline and those that will decline. Now, to be real honest, we as leaders have to look at ourselves and we have to say, okay, we have the leadership responsibility in this ministry. Sometimes we are our own worst enemies. Sometimes we cause our own problems. by not knowing our singles and not anticipating events that are going to conflict with what we're doing, not keeping aware even of our community schedule. We have a huge thing at our... We have a river that runs through our town, and they have a big, huge thing called Riverfest. And it comes along about the same time every year. They vary it a little bit. But I tell you what, if I try to plan a singles event during Riverfest, sorry about that. Sorry about that. Because they're going down on the river, because that's where the women hang out. That's where they can drink if they want to. I mean, that is where the fun is. And so sometimes we're our own worst enemy. This little video clip kind of illustrates what can happen when you cause your own problems. Okay? Can you see it okay? Dog biting his own foot, you know, trying to get his bone. And sometimes we do that to ourselves. We bite ourselves in the foot, you know, whatever phrase you want to use. Sometimes by not planning ahead and not anticipating, we become the problem. We become part of the problem of the challenge in our own singles ministry. And then we may complain about saying, all those ungodly singles, they're going to go to the river instead of come to the church, you know. And sometimes we'll blame it on others instead of us. But we have the leadership responsibility in our ministry to lead our ministry well. So I want to talk to you about what I call the cycle of single adult ministry. And I've discovered in my 13 years of ministry and working with other churches and groups that this pattern repeats itself in virtually every ministry in the country. It's really interesting how this pattern works. You've got a little schematic there, and you can draw the segments of this graph as I put them on the screen here of how the cycle of singles ministry works. And here's how it works. Year number one, let's say you're just kicking off your singles ministry, or let's say you're restarting it, or you're going to do something really exciting to revitalize your singles ministry, and you have this great, great year. And your singles ministry starts up, and it grows like crazy the first year. Whoop. Here we go. Year number two. It still grows like crazy. You got a good team in place. You're excited about it. You're on fire as a leader. The second year, it still grows fast. During these 2 years of exciting growth and exciting ministry, what are some of the dynamics in the group? What are some of the things that are happening in this group of singles?
They're moving, they're getting married.
Okay, they're forming relationships. They're forming good, solid relationships. And who is it that's forming the most relationships? Your leaders. During these 2 years, you're growing leaders. Leaders are maturing. Leaders are forming relationships. Also, at the same time, singles are becoming involved in ministry. They're becoming empowered. They're becoming spiritually connected to God in a way that He leads them, their heart, toward ministry. Because this is an exciting, dynamic, growing singles ministry. And this atmosphere is fostering this quality and this excellence. And so for the first 2 years, this thing is just doing great. It's growing like crazy. Year number three. It basically plateaus. I started out my ministry with 30 singles. At the end of the first year, we were averaging 52 singles. At the end of the second year, we were averaging 71 singles. At the end of the third year, we were averaging 72 singles. My ministry plateaued. And in cycles of 3 to 4 years, it does it every 3 to 4 years. It plateaus. But now here's the interesting dynamic that most leaders don't understand. I mean, they don't know about this. Once I tell you about it, you'll say, oh yeah, yeah, I see. But particularly your pastor doesn't. Your church leaders don't understand this dynamic. Here's what happens to you sometime during this third year, basically. The ministry goes backwards. Now, it really doesn't go backwards necessarily, but I do this to illustrate something important. Not only does it decline in numbers, but it goes backwards in leadership ability. Because your solid base of leadership is leaving the ministry. Everything rises and falls on leadership. Everything. Without leadership, your ministry will falter. If you've got 5 small groups but only 4 good leaders, you'll end up with 4 small groups because the 5th one will fail. Okay? Everything rises and falls on leadership. So this graph illustrates, this backward slant illustrates not only a decrease in attendance, but it indicates, the backward slant indicates a decrease in leadership. My ministry over the 13 years I've been there, I have had about 345 or so singles married out of my group. In one 18-month period, I had 57 singles married. And 45 of them were every Sunday attenders. You see, singles ministry is different than any ministry in the church in that just to stay level, you have to grow at about 15-20% just to stay level. Because of the dynamic of singles leaving and getting married and so on. Just as a side issue, several years ago I got with our education minister and I said, let me show you the impact our singles ministry has on our church. We took our leadership list of all of our leaders in our church, and what I was able to show him with that is that 40% of all leaders in our church came out of our singles ministry. Either through marriage or through feeling empowered to minister. I told my pastor one day about all this. He said, you know, if all the singles didn't show up one Sunday morning, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? I said, yes, sir. You'd be in deep trouble. You see, at that point, 30% of our choir was single. 20% of our orchestra, single. 40% of our adult leaders, our adult and children's leaders, single. If all the singles don't show up on Sunday morning, Hilldale Baptist Church is in deep trouble. And I want to make sure the leaders know that. So I keep track of all singles, where they are, where they're ministering, what they're doing. I email them, encourage them, and I make sure the leadership knows about them. So you got to make sure that singles who are leaving your group, either marriage or leadership or whatever, are highlighted, and the leadership of your church knows about that, and they appreciate that, and it gives them a better understanding of why your ministry does this right here. Now, along somewhere late third year, fourth year, all of a sudden, when you panic and you begin to rebuild your leadership team, it starts up again. And you know what? I can take all of my records and I can go back over the last 13 years. And you know what? There are 3 to 4 distinct patterns just like this in my singles ministry. The only thing that is a little quirk in my singles ministry was when the 101st Airborne Division deployed to Iraq and zapped 1/3 of my ministry, singles ministry out, you know, Afghanistan and Iraq. And so we're recovering from that now. We're, you know, rebuilding in that area. But generally, in most singles ministry, this pattern continues. And it'll repeat itself, maybe not quite this steep or not quite this shallow, you know, but it'll repeat itself over and over and over. So, the question is, what do you do about it? What do you do about it? Well, go back to the basics. The basics of what makes a ministry thrive in the first place. A document, a publication that I recommend to you, the one that I use a lot in my ministry, it's available at Lifeway as a leader manual. It costs about $17, I think. This leader manual is entitled The Single Adult Ministry Solution Manual. Leader Manual. And you can look it up on Lifeway.com, The Single Adult Ministry Solution Leader Manual. And this manual has the basics of single adult ministry, the basics of what's required to grow and maintain a single adult ministry. I use it as a standard in my ministry, and I encourage you to consider it. Get it, look through it, and see what the principles are of these basics that I'm going to be talking about here. First of all, develop a passion for God. revisit your passion for God if you're the leader. Revisit who you are spiritually and revisit why you feel and do the things the way you do spiritually in your church and with your ministry. Explore that yourself. Because the people around you, the leaders that you bring around you, will reflect whatever your passion is for God. If you have an active prayer life, you'll lead them to have it. If you have an active Bible study life, you'll lead them to have it. And this is where you're going to build the foundation, rebuild the foundation of your ministry, is in your particular expression of your passion for God. Because you want to lead that leadership team to have a passion for God. Because that's the whole focus anyway. The focus is leading single adults to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's it. And everything we do leads and points in that direction. Secondly, you want to build a leadership team. Get leaders from all aspects of your ministry. The never married group, the young single group, the older single group, the widow group, the divorce group, single parent group, whatever it may be. Get people from various aspects of your ministry and rebuild your leadership team. Always share with them your heart for your passion for God and your heart for the ministry, and set goals. Know what your purpose is and what your passion is, and that leader manual will lead you through the process of developing a passion and purpose and so on. If, by the way, if you will, on this sheet right here, let me mark down one side of this sheet. I'm going to mark it off. And on the right-hand side of this sheet, if you will write down your email address, that will tell me you want the document I'm about to tell you about, and I will email this document to you. My assistant and I, over the years of teaching and so on, we developed a single adult ministry startup kit. It's like a 35 or 40 page fill-in-the-blank kit for people who are starting ministry or even those who are trying to restart a ministry. If you'd like to have that kit, it's a Word document. You can just take it and print it out and so on and so forth. Then all you have to do is, as plainly and clearly as possible, write your email address on the right-hand side of that sheet right there, and I will email that document to you. I'll know what that is for. So, you want to build a passion for God, and you want to build a leadership team. And you want to know these people well. You don't want to take somebody who is just charismatic, but they're not very committed to Christ. You don't want to put them on that team. You want people who are solid. I mean, not perfect people, certainly. You're not perfect either. But you want to build a team that you can work with, and you can train, and you can lead to see the vision of single adult ministry in your community. Teamwork makes the dream work is a common phrase that a lot of leaders use. Teamwork makes the dream work. This is a little photo here of two different kinds of dogs and a cat working together trying to get some food out of the refrigerator here. Teamwork. Teamwork is the key. You see, one is too small of a number for greatness. You need a team of people who know what the ministry is about and what the focus is to help. Next, empower single adults to do ministry. Give the ministry away to single adults. You should never, ever, ever try to build a great singles ministry. You should build great single adults and let them build the ministry. You want to pour your life into people, not events and activities. You've got to coordinate some of those, of course. But you want to spend your time with people, with these leaders. You want to pour your passion into them. You want to empower them to do ministry. There was a book written years ago by Rich Hurst. I think Terry Hershey, but I know Rich Hurst was one of the authors of this book. And the book is still available, I believe. It might even be available downstairs. It's an old book called Giving the Ministry Away. Excellent. It's an excellent book. So I encourage you to consider that book, Giving the Ministry Away, as it talks about how to empower single adults for ministry. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Don't bite off more than you can chew. When you see a task, it might take more than two of you. Okay, in this particular case, it would. And these two little bitty dogs with a great huge bone. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Allow your team to help you. Don't try to be the lone ranger. Even he had Tonto, you know. So don't try to do it all yourself. What happens when we do it all ourselves? I see this in many churches. The singles minister or leader, be it a lay leader or a minister on staff, that person has a huge dynamic ministry, and that person leaves and it falls apart. Why? There was no team. It was all being done by one person or a couple of people. And there's no team. So don't bite off more than you can chew. Don't take more of a load than you can stand. You know what? You got a life. You need to have a life. And your life doesn't just revolve around singles. You know, there are other relationships in your life. There's family in your life. There's other things going on in your life. And you need to have a life. So don't let yourself get overloaded. You're going to be like this donkey right here on this overloaded cart. Lifted him right up in the air. Focus on the main thing. Make sure that Jesus is your focus and you are focusing on the main thing. Let me read this little... here we go. I found this in a Christian magazine, and the CEO of Coca-Cola had his annual or however often meeting they do. All the leaders from Coca-Cola around the world came together, and he gave his keynote speech to these leaders, a real short speech. And here's the speech he gave to them. This was on February 17th, 1994. The CEO of Coca-Cola gave this speech to his leaders from around the world. And here's what he said. All of us in the Coca-Cola family wake up each morning knowing that every one of the world's 5.6 billion people will get thirsty that day, and we are the ones with the opportunity to refresh them. Our task is simple. Make Coca-Cola and our other products available, affordable, and acceptable to them, quenching their thirst and providing with a perfect moment of relaxation. If we do this, if we make it impossible for those 5.6 billion people to escape Coca-Cola, we assure our future success for years to come. Doing anything else is not an option. You know what I thought of when I read this? Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go into all the world and teach them and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. This guy must have read Matthew 28, 19 and 20 because he's doing world evangelism for Coca-Cola. In a very simple speech, he basically summarizes and says, doing anything else is not an option. And I tell you, if we're going to impact singles for Christ, doing anything else is not an option. We have to focus on the main thing. You know what? We can do a lot of fun things in singles ministry, but if we're not careful, we can struggle to find Jesus in what we're doing. We have to be careful about that. We've got to focus on the main thing. You need to model and expect excellence. Nothing but excellence. There's a book called Good to Great, written by Jim, I got his name on the tip of my tongue here. Anyway, the book called Good to Great. Collins. Book called Good to Great. And here's one of the premises. Good is the enemy of great. If you settle for good, you'll never be great. Good is the enemy of great. Now, I want to show you some examples of excellence right here. This is a demonstration team that, in formation, places their wheels on the surface of a lake at several hundred miles an hour. That is excellence. That took practice. That is an example of excellence. Now, here's an example that's not excellent. Truck with a dirt loader on top of it impacts an overhead bridge at like probably 70 miles an hour, and this tractor cuts halfway through that overhead bridge. Failure to plan, I would think, don't you? This is not an example of excellence. Here's an example of a juggler who juggles all kinds of things. And now, what he's about to do, he's about to take these juggling balls and he is going to play a keyboard sitting on the floor with these juggling balls. Alright? Now, if I just get the
hope that was a girl.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Watch this. Can you see it okay? You think he did that day number one? I don't think so. I think he practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced until he became excellent. And that's the way it is in our ministries. On day number one that we have a great idea, I don't think we're going to be excellent. But we get a group of people around us, and we begin to depend on God, we begin to focus on Him, we begin to provide resources, we begin to provide encouragement, and before you know it, they will produce excellence. But it takes a lot of work to be excellent. The next step we have to remember, if we're going to revitalize our ministries and grow ministries and sustain our ministries, is we have to stay relevant. It has to be up to date with what's happening. You mean I'm not? You know, when I talk to people and I say, you need to be relevant, they say, well, aren't I relevant now? I said, well, I don't know. Are you? I mean, are you up to date with what's happening in the world? Are you aware of the dynamics of the singles in your ministry and what they're going through? Are you up to date with the latest divorce statistics and pre-marriage counseling, all that sort of stuff? Are you up to date with that? You have to stay relevant. Sometimes our ministries look like this, if we're not careful. A donkey pulling half of a car as a trailer. You know, that's like, that's, I guess, is that a redneck limousine? I don't know if that is or not. But, you know, sometimes we want our ministries to be dynamic and up-to-date and relevant when, in fact, a single may walk in the door and see this. See? And we wonder why they don't come back. Teach leaders to encourage. I'll tell you what, there is a ghost town of encouragement in our world, in our country. People just do not encourage. It is one of the most needed things in our society is encouragement. I watched this movie called Henry V. It's about Henry of England years and years ago, and way back in the 1700s, and Henry V. In this movie anyway, was convinced that France really belonged to England. There was some sort of historical documentation, and he got convinced that France used to be a part of England, and they had broken away, and he was going to reclaim France. And so he took his army and he attacked France. But they were cold and tired and far from home, and they were hugely, hugely outnumbered, and the French mustered their entire army to come against the English. And here is a scene of where the French attack the English. They counterattack against the English, who is on French soil. And take a look at the difference that encouragement makes in the outcome of the battle. I gotta get over there first. Here we go. All right, here's the French just coming up over the hill to talk about what they're going to do. It's in Old English, so you have to kind of listen carefully. Here we go. Nah. All right, here we go.
Mark our steeds for present service, nay.
Mount them and make incision in their hides that their hot blood may spin in English eyes.
Do but behold yon poor and starved band, and your fair shadow shall suck away their souls, leaving them but the shale hearts of men. There's not work enough for all our hands.
Why do you stay so long, my lords of France? Your line of carrions, desperate of their bones, ill favored have become the morning field.
They have said their prayers.
Now, particularly listen to the King of England as he encourages his troops.
Then let the trumpet sound, the trumpet summons, and then let them knife. For our approach will so much tear the field. England shall cut down in fear and yield.
Of fighting men, they have full 3,000 to 4,000.
That's 5 to 1. Besides, they are all fresh.
It is a fearful odds.
Oh, that we
60,000 against 10,000.
But 1,000 to 10,000 of those men in England that do no work today.
What's he that wishes so?
Here's the king.
My cousin Westmoreland.
Now, my fair cousin, if we are marked to die, we are enough to do our country loss. And if to live, the fewer men, the greater share of honor. God will, I pray thee, wish not one man more. Brother, proclaim in Westmoreland through my host that he which hath no stomach for this fight, let him depart. His passport shall be made, and crowns for convoy put into his purse. We would not die in that man's company that fears his fellowship to die with us. This day is called the Feast of Crispius. He that outlives this day and comes safe home will stand at tiptoe when this day is named, and arouse him at the name of Crispian. He that shall see this day and live old age will yearly, on the vigil, feast his neighbors and say, tomorrow is St. Crispian. Then will he strip his sleeve and show his scars, and say, these wounds I had on Crispian's day. Old men forget, then all shall be forgotten. He'll remember with advantages what feats he did that day. Then shall our names, familiar in their mouths as household words,
Harry the King, Bedford and Exeter,
Warwick and Talbot, Salisbury and Gloucester, be in their flowing cups freshly remembered. This story shall the good man teach his son, and Crispin, Crispian shall ne'er go by. From this day to the ending of the world, but we in it shall be remembered.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers. For he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother. Be he ne'er so vile, this day shall gentle his condition.
And gentlemen in England now abed shall think themselves accursed they were not here, and hold their manhood's chief, whilst in these streets have fought with us upon St. Crispin's Day!
Let me get this off. So, how many would want to go and fight after a speech like that? Well, they were outnumbered 5-1, but they won the battle because of encouragement. Well, here I'm back where I was. Here we go. Because of encouragement, they felt defeated looking at the obstacle. The enemy was 5-1 against them. They were fresh. They were well fed. They weren't tired. And they were thinking, how can we overcome this? And with that 3-minute, 2-minute, whatever it was, speech, the king turned them from inward defeat to success. And they whipped up on the French. The French could not believe it. They got defeated by the English because of the king, the leadership of the king. People need to be encouraged. People need to be cared for. People need a friend, you know? Sometimes we have different singles in our groups for different reasons, and sometimes they just need to be paired up with people who can be a friend to them. They just need a friend sometimes. We need to build on singles' dreams. If we don't know what their dreams are, how can we help them realize their dreams? People have different dreams. If you talk to them, if you allow them to fill out a survey about what their dreams are, and you begin to take a look at your brainstorm team and say, okay, we have these people who have these great dreams. How can we help them? You know, Rich Hurst shares about a girl who really didn't want to go to Sunday school, but she had a dream about a group of singles helping teach English as a second language downtown in a school for underprivileged kids. And so finally, Rich Hurst talked the pastor into helping them do that, and the following year she helped start a new Sunday school class for the singles ministry. But she took about 15 or 20 singles downtown, and they began to teach inner city kids English as a second language. And really, their dreams became part of the singles ministry dream. And we need to help singles with their dreams. We need to know what their dreams are and help them with their dreams. We need to teach selfless giving, in other words, commitment to singles. We need to model selfless giving of ourselves, and we need to teach that and expect that from singles. I'll tell you, there's a video clip that is one of the best illustrations I've ever seen in my life of selflessness in giving. And here it is. This is a clip of a dad named Dick Hoyt. And Dick Hoyt's son, Rick, was born basically incapable of anything. Quadriplegic, he had birth defects, he couldn't talk, he couldn't interact. The doctor said you should just go put him in a home somewhere and let them take care of him. And they said, no, he's going to be a normal kid. And they took Rick home. And this is a clip. Now, Rick is like 32 years old, still incapacitated. And this is the dad is 60 years old. His name is Dick. And what they have done is they have entered as a team in the Ironman Triathlon. 5 miles or so of swimming, followed by 110 miles of bicycling, followed by 26.2 miles of running, all on the same day. They have entered as a team in the Ironman Triathlon. And this is some clips of them in the Ironman Triathlon. And I want you to see this as an illustration of what it's like to selflessly give to others. I'm hoping it will self-activate here in a second. Well. Here we go.
Plane, and they can't find anybody else to do another ride in 10 minutes.
So, do I have 2 minutes?
I would say I would make it one. The lady's like, they're already loading her up, and they said she has to go. So, I apologize. This was their situation.
Well, I could... I could be downstairs about 4 minutes from right now.
Okay. I'll let them know.
Okay. I've got about 4 minutes before I have to leave, so if you want your email address on there, put it on there now. Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. And that's my prayer for you, that you'll do what it takes to make the ups more up in your Sam. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. For these leaders, I pray for them and their ministries. In Jesus' name, amen.